Hi, I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are East-West Audio Body Shop. Well, we're finally over eating all that food last week for Thanksgiving, but we're going to stuff you with more information this week on our show. Our guest is Jody Gottlieb. She is an award-winning promo and commercial writer, director, producer, and coach, and she worked at CBS, and she's going to come here and talk to us about what she looks for when she hires talent.
I'm going to have you guys, your questions, that is, coming in, and I hope you do send them in to ewabshop, that is, at gmail.com, so that we can answer them on the show, and we do take your questions live in the chat room as well.
Yes, we do. And in my tip of the week, I am tired of people saying, I sound great with this equipment I have. Guess what? You don't hire you. And we'll talk all about it. That's East-West Audio Body Shop, 9 o'clock in the East.
And 6 o'clock in the West.
And join us in the chat room. And we'll see all of you there.
He's the home voiceover studio engineer to the stars in Los Angeles, California. A Virginia Tech grad whose knowledge of the latest recording gear is second to none. He's a voice actor and the home studio master, hailing from Buffalo, New York. His home studio skills and knowledge of voiceover recording is unmatched. When Dan and George talk shop, people listen, and the talk continues tonight. Welcome to East-West Audio Body Shop. And now, live from his high-tech facility in Santa Monica and his penthouse studio in Buffalo, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Hi, I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are
East-West
Audio Body Shop.
It's never the right side. You're always looking the wrong way.
No, but now I know. You're over here.
No, the other way.
You're over there.
No, this way.
You are?
Yes. That's never the way you think it is. It doesn't make any sense. Anyway.
The toilets go in the different direction here in Buffalo, too.
Right.
It just adds up. Anyway, good evening. Welcome to East-West Audio Body Shop. Enough of this nonsense. We have another fabulous show for you tonight. Thanks for showing up. Got a great guest tonight. Jody Gottlieb's going to join us in just a little bit. And we're going to talk about the stuff that she knows about our business because she sees it from just a slightly different angle than a lot of us do in the voiceover business. So stay tuned for that. And, of course, you know, we have questions for her. We know you have questions for her. And our marvelous crew in the chat room, of course, will take care of and getting those questions to us so we can ask her.
That's right.
Makes a lot of sense. Also, we need to thank our magnificent, amazing sponsors, Harlan Hogren, VoiceOverEssentials.com, Edge Studio, our new friends at VoiceZam. Great, great software. You got to try it for your website. And, of course, John Florian over at VoiceOver Extra.
Hallelujah.
That's how we get on here with all this bandwidth and no other commercials except the commercials that are important to you.
That's right.
Anyway, so we've got lots coming up, but now...
Time now to take a look at the news. EWAB's News.
All righty. Well, starting off in the news this week, Harlan Hogren's contest winners get their copy of Harlan's second edition VO Tales book. Here are the winners. Kevin Schuler, Ed VO. Do we know Ed's last name or is his last name actually VO?
He apparently doesn't want you to know his last name because it's not in anywhere and nowhere in the email.
Yeah. Lee Pinney, who was actually paying attention. Anthony Gettig, who's always paying attention. So you guys, you'll be getting your copy of Harlan's book that you can probably display on your shelf. So please email us your actual mailing addresses and we'll pass it on to Harlan, especially Lee, whose address apparently I forgot. But that's a whole nother story. George?
Yes. It's AIDS Awareness Day. I just heard. And I was looking around the net to see what people were up to. Well, people. This isn't people. This is company. But Apple Computer is donating proceeds to that Red organization. They've been selling products for years that have that Red logo with the parentheses. And anyway, so from their website, it says, today we're contributing a portion of the proceeds from every product, accessory, and gift card we sell at the Apple retail store and Apple online store to the Global Fund to Fight AIDS. And when you buy or make in-app purchases in any of the special apps for Red through December 7th, we'll donate 100% of the proceeds. That's pretty cool.
I like that. Well, speaking of international stuff, you know how I'm always mentioning that we get, you know, at ewabshop@gmail.com, we get a lot of amazing things. I mean, we've won the Irish lottery several times and the British sweepstakes. And the UN apparently has done something about it, because this is an email we got at ewabshop.com, or gmail.com this morning. United Nations Headquarters, New York, New York, 10017, United States. Dear sirs, this is to bring to your notice that the United Nations Compensation Fund Organization, in affiliation with the World Bank, are paying 1,000 scam victims who have been victims of internet scams. It's not, the English isn't actually that good. I'm translating. The United Nations has decided to pay you $250,000 each. Is that like $500,000 for both of us here? You are listed and approved for this payment as one of the scammed victims to be paid. The amount you are advised to respond to this email as soon as possible for the immediate payment of your $250,000 compensation fund. It gets better. We have been holding a series of meetings for the past 2 months, which ended a few days ago, with the U.S. government. This has been deliberated upon in order to restore the global economy to the enviable standard of respectability. Can you believe this?
Wow, that's a mouthful.
I know. According to the number of applicants at hand, 350 beneficiaries have been paid, and half the victims are from the United States. Gee, I wonder why. We still have more left to be paid, the compensation of $250,000 each. Your particulars were mentioned by one of the syndicates who was arrested as one of their victims of the operations. You are hereby warned not to communicate or duplicate this message to him or her for any reason whatsoever, as the U.S. Secret Service is already on trace of other criminals. So keep it a secret till they are apprehended. Other victims who have been contacted can submit their application as well for scrutiny and possible consideration. And then there's some contact information.
Yeah, give us all your contact info.
Yes, give us your full name, home address, nationality, age, sex, occupation, phone number. Best regards, the best part, Ban Ki-moon, Secretary General of the United States. And you heard it here.
And the only reason they bother doing these, you guys, is because one in like 10,000 people actually falls for this crap. Oh, my God. All right.
Anyway.
Moving on.
George, your story. If that wasn't exciting enough.
Yeah, let's get serious now. Right. Movember comes to a close. As I was saying, I'm so glad to have my beard shaved off. Oh, gosh. And the Movos team raised $2,175 with the help of our Mo sisters and Voxy ladies. And team captain Jeffrey Kafer raised more than the rest of us combined. He put all of us to shame. He really, it's basically Jeff Kafer, and we're all just along for the ride. But a really great cause. I'm really glad that we were able to bring some attention to that. And Dan, there's one little last one. Do you want to read that last little one I just shoved in there at the bottom?
Oh, yes. The Peanuts film is to be released 1 year from now, and the cast was announced. It's all child actors, and you can see it at www.voiceoverherald.com/peanuts-movie-voice-cast-revealed.
Cast-revealed. Yeah. It's, I think that's pretty cool. I mean, to be true to the original series, right? It would have to be real children's voices, right? But it was cool to see it. And they had pictures of all their little headshots. And
I know I saw an audition, and I auditioned for one of the parents, and all I had to do was wah, 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 wah.
That was always my favorite part of the Peanuts, is that adult voice, the generic. It's like dogs. What dogs hear when their parents, you know, when they're trained, when their owners, whatever, tell them.
Yeah, blah, blah, ginger, blah, 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 ginger.
Right, right. Blah, 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 dinner, blah, blah, ginger. Blah, blah. Anyway,
okay.
Moving
and
on.
And now.
You can play we have another thing.
And that's a look at the eWabs news.
This is going to be one of those weeks, isn't it? Anyway, time for Q&A.
Yeah, well, we had one come in that was not answered from last time, so I wanted to make sure that I got to talk about it a little bit this time. And both Lee and Anthony, who help with the show, by the way, so they're kind of part of our producer group here, they want to know about the Apollo twin. So the Apollo twin is a, well, let's think of it this way. It is basically a, for lack of a better term, an M-box on steroids. So it's basically like, well, we always talk about the Scarlet 2i2, right? We love the Scarlet 2i2. So imagine a Scarlet 2i2 that has a virtual version of some of the most famous and most revered audio equipment known to man that's been used in the world of recording in a virtual environment inside the box, right? So this doesn't mean anything to many of you unless you've done or gotten to work in some studios where you see all those racks of expensive vintage gear. But basically what the Apollo twin does is it gives you access to all of these virtual versions of rack equipment like compressors and limiters and all these cool things. And it gives you access to them in this this real-time virtual environment. So why is that so cool? You know, for many of you, it's not a big deal. A Scarlett is really all you need because you're just going to do all that processing in post anyway. But for those who are finding themselves doing more real-time recording, doing things like over IPDTL, Source Connect, ISDN, and all these types of technologies, which are getting more popular because they're getting cheaper and more easy to get and all that, especially IPDTL and Source Connect now. Now there's going to be more demand for voice actors, I think, to be processing the audio real time. Kind of the way we used to do, you know, years ago in the world of radio or whatever, where you had to process in real time. So with the Apollo twin and all these other things like in the Apollo line, you can do that. So if you really want to have some compression and you really want to have a downward expander or something like that, it can be all done virtually inside the Apollo twin. And you know, these things I've always shied away from, all these virtualized effects and all these bells and whistles, because they just add a lot of overhead to your system. Traditionally, we've done it with Pro Tools, which it requires a really high-end system to be able to do it well. It introduced a ton of latency, so you really couldn't listen to your own voice through all that processing, or it was in a delay. It was really a nightmare. I mean, you had to spend $5,000 to $10,000 for like a high-end Pro Tools rig to do what this thing can do. So this is a little box. It's about $700, and it gives you the processing on board. And it's been rock solid. I mean, I've been setting them up remotely and or in person for people for a couple of years, but about a year now. And I haven't had anybody say it's train wrecked on them, crashed. It's been rock solid, reliable, and it's a pretty amazing piece. So if you're a gearhead or gear slut, or you're really finding yourself doing more of this kind of work where you have to do processing real time because your session is being recorded somewhere else, it might be something you might want to check into. It's a pretty cool piece of kit, as they say over the pond.
All righty. All right, well, we had an actual call-in question. Now, you got to stop it before we get to the guy's email address, unless, of course, he wants to broadcast his email address.
Yeah, okay.
You'll fire that one up.
Okay, let me click on the link, because I didn't have it.
See, of course, you get the tough questions. I get this one.
Yeah, exactly. This isn't so bad.
Okay.
Let's see if I can do this without causing an echoey mess. Here we go.
Hello, my name is Michael Moses, and I'm very interested in getting into your voiceover business. I just don't know how to get started. I would really appreciate it if you can give me some help, some direction. My email address is...
Okay, you can cut it off right there.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, we've heard enough.
All right. Well, first I was going to suggest you contact the United Nations. They're apparently giving out money for the... We're getting started here. It might help a little bit. The best way to get started is to find a class in your neighborhood to study and see that it's not about just, hey, I can talk for a living. It's acting, and you've got to learn how to act and learn how to take copy off a page and make it sound like you're not reading it, essentially, that you become the words. And that takes, it doesn't happen overnight, and that's where you start. And that's how you learn how to be a voice actor. And take classes, work with a coach, make a demo, start to set up your own studio. We, of course, can help you with that. And if you watch all 169 episodes, well, this is X-168, actually.
Right.
Start with episode one, which is fun to watch, and go through all 168 episodes of EWABS, and you'll be an expert in how to have a, you know, a personal voiceover studio. So, and the thing is I'm telling the truth. It may sound kind of silly, but that's really where you start. It's the best place to start is classes. And a little later on, Jody Gottlieb will talk to us about the classes she teaches.
Yeah.
So, Michael, let us know, write back to us, let us know where you live, and maybe we can help you get involved with a class or a meetup group or something like that.
Yeah.
And then learn about the business and make this transition into doing it.
There are,
got a great voice. It sounds clearly, like James Earl Jones.
Clearly. I mean, it's great. I hear new voice actor, new fledgling people that would love to get into voiceover. And it's very clear from the minute you hear their voice that they've been told 1,000 times,
you have a great voice.
Oh, your voice is amazing. You should be in voiceover. And so they finally decide to act on it. And it's great. It's one piece of the pie. It's a pie, and it's a slice, not a very generous slice of the pie. It's definitely a good, you know, maybe a third. No, not even a third, probably. It's probably like an eighth of the pie when it comes to being a professional voice actor. But you also have to have the desire to be extremely self-motivated and entrepreneurial or solopreneurial. Do people call that solopreneur?
Yeah. There are basically three legs to the triad of being a successful voice actor. One, you have to be a good voice actor. Two, you have to learn the technical aspects of the business, which is what George and I teach. And you've got to be a good business person. You have to understand marketing and bookkeeping and all that stuff. If one leg of that triad falls out, the other two may not be enough to carry you to success on this. So the people who are successful at it are able to master those three basic, there's nothing basic to any of those. Each one of those is a college level course. So it's not going to happen overnight, but if you got the desire and you have the time and you have the resources and the inclination, give it a shot. At least find out if it's for you before you like dive headlong into the pool.
And of course I'd be remiss to not at least plug my own employer, Edge Studio, because they've got they've got an evaluation process that you can go through to get a little idea whether you're definitely cut out for training for becoming a voice actor. So edgestudio.com and check into the education section of the website.
All righty. Well, that's all for a Q&A. We've got lots more coming up. Jody Gottlieb's going to join us in just a few minutes. I've got my tip of the week coming up right after this break, and it's going to come up with lots of disclaimers. So stay tuned. We'll be right back here on East West Audio Body Shop.
You're listening to East West Audio Body Shop.
Dad?
Yeah, honey?
When you watch East West Audio Body Shop, why do you keep hitting your forehead? And why do you keep yelling WTF? And what does WTF even mean?
Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. Yeah, that's what it means.
I think you made that up.
Girls, just go do your homework. Right now I'm watching George and Dan on EWABS.
Okay.
And we're back here in East West Audio Body Shop. Thanks for joining us tonight. Again, a huge audience just joining us live on the internet all over the world. We know we have people listening in New Zealand, in Japan, in, you know, in Des Moines. Are we having listeners in Des Moines? Who knows? Probably. And we're always appreciative that you're here every week. We still can't believe the word. Next week, it's going to be 169 episodes. And, you know, neither can our wives, but that's a whole nother story. Time for the tip of the week. Now, this has to come with a couple of disclaimers.
Okay.
One, I got a bit of an attitude. I don't think anybody's ever noticed that before. But I get affected by what I read every week because I go into the forums because I want to make sure people are getting the right information. And apparently a lot of people aren't getting the right information. But this is the one question that drives George and I absolutely insane. So let's roll this tip of the week. Okay, I have a bit of an attitude about all this. I watch the forums a lot, and I see the same question brought up again and again.
Condenser, USB, shotgun, dynamic. What's the best mic for voiceover?
What's the best mic preamp for voiceover?
What's the best mic for voiceover?
What is the best mic preamp for voiceover?
What is the best microphone for voiceover?
What's the best mic for voiceover?
In all my consultations with many of you out there, there's no question. Finding the right equipment and how to use it is causing more stress and anxiety than anything else in this complicated process of being a modern voice actor with a personal studio. Sometimes I feel like a therapist. Everybody's stressing out over what's essentially mythology. There is no such thing as the best of this or that when it comes to the type of recording that we do. So why do you keep asking?
What's the best mic preamp for voiceover?
There's only what's best for you, your budget, and your ability to use something to your advantage. You have to understand, I've heard audio from all over the country and all over the world. I've come to some conclusions when it comes to voice over audio. And I say this over and over again, and I guess it bears repeating one more time. Again, the idea of a personal studio is not to make you sound great. It's to make you sound like you. That is, unless you're an experienced audio engineer that routinely produces professional quality productions for radio and TV. And they don't want you messing with it. Cliff Zellman, commercial producer. Do you want anyone to send you audio that's been overprocessed to make someone sound great?
No.
Emmy Award-winning audio producer Uncle Roy Yokelson. Should people be buying expensive preamps to make them sound great?
No.
What I see are responses to that question that say the same thing over and over again. This so-and-so piece of equipment makes me sound great. Oh yeah? To who? Okay, everyone's entitled to an opinion. Sounding great to yourself is fine. One problem with that, though. You don't hire you.
What's the best mic for voiceover?
The truth is, any good studio condenser mic over $200, and that continues to get cheaper, will do the job. Will it sound different from a $1,000 mic? You betcha. But that's not the same as sounding bad. It's the sound that you, that mic, and your recording space produces. It's unique to you. If the acoustics are right, your input levels are correct, and you use the proper mic technique, literally no one who decides on hiring you will be able to identify which mic you use. Or if you're even using an expensive preamp. Well, actually, they might know that from all the background noise your mic picks up. The guys telling you that the $2,500 preamp will make you sound great are audio geeks and audiophiles. They don't hire talent. If you're trying to create a sound that's pleasant to you, chances are you're overdoing it. If you consider yourself an audiophile, save your thoughts and your sound to the music you listen to.
it has little to do with one-track mono, dry voice. And if you don't know what it's supposed to sound like, send a sample of your audio to us, and we'll tell you. And that's my tip of the week.
Well, all right. So the bottom line here is what I was saying is that, you know, it's not the equipment. It's your ability to be a voice actor. If you get this stuff in line and you get, you know, you set your levels, you do all these things properly, you don't have to, it's set it, forget it, hit record and do your thing and not worry about all this technical stuff. And again, people are like, it's got to be like this. It's got to be, it doesn't have to be that. We give you some very simple parameters to use. It's 95% acoustics and 10% equipment and a $2,500 preamp.
Do the math.
Doesn't help you read any better. I don't know where you guys get this stuff from. You're not on the radio in 1953. You're not supposed to sound like you're on tubes or anything like that.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a lot of voice actors out there who are. What's really cool about voiceover, let's put it this way, is that people do want to give their opinion on what they're using. The fact that they're not super secretive about this magic sauce that they're putting on their, people are willing to share all this information. And it's incredible. You're on Facebook and groups and you're on, you know, in these different forums, and you can be a total, pretty much a newbie. If you at least somewhat sound intelligent, people will have a discussion with you and you're rubbing elbows with some of the best voice actors in the business. And so they're throwing out specs and information about equipment that they use. They can buy anything. They can afford anything, right? And so they do, because why wouldn't they? It's, you know, if you can drive a better car, drive a better car. Right. But it's still, they don't, they could be driving a Camry, even though they're driving Mercedes SL 600, right?
Right.
So, you know, don't get caught up in it too much. And, but I actually, Mara Juneau jumped in on this.
The amazing, gorgeous, and amazing lady that she is. Do you think it might make an engineer nervous to confess if we were using a mic other than a Neumann or a 416 as long as it sounds right for us? Or should we just lie about the model as long as it sounds right for us?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Well, it's the same answer as the phone patch. You know, is your phone patch set up? Yes. Are you ready?
Right. Yeah, which in that would work in 95% of the cases, no problem.
That's right.
You know, should you lie? Like, if they actually bother to ask you if you are using said microphone,
yes, you are.
I think you should. I don't know, man. I'm of two minds. You have to really know your client.
Yeah, if that's true too.
If you don't know this client from Adam, and you think that it makes it, it's some way they're going to pass judgment on you because you don't have one of those two models, say whatever you want to say. Say, yes. Yep, got one. But if you've got a long standing relationship or you've worked with them in a studio face to face and they've used a certain mic on you and now you have to go home and continue working on a camp, whatever it is, if they want a specific mic, you probably should use that specific mic. But, you know, you have to take that with a grain of salt. There was a great question recently on one of the forums about what you use for traveling when you bring equipment along with you. And people were talking about all this different gear and everything. And I chimed in at one point. I said, listen, I think what happens in this world of voiceover is the better you are and the more money you make, the less important the gear actually is. I mean, and we're going to talk about Don a little bit here, Don LaFontaine with Jody, because she got to work with him over the years. And I went into his studio. There was a different mic in his studio there almost every week because people kept sending him mics, you know, for him to try. It didn't matter. As long as they heard Don's voice, they were going to record his audio, you know. And so it doesn't matter at a certain level. But thankfully, you can get cheap gear these days. And I'll use the word cheap because I am.
Less, more budget.
Budget equipment and get really, really good quality of audio. You just have to know how to use it properly.
Yeah. Did anybody notice that I used five different microphones during that?
I honestly didn't. I mean, I wasn't. You even said to look for it, and I still wasn't paying it because it never drew attention. Like, that's I never heard your voice and went, oh, his voice changed. Really? Yeah.
No. I used my 103, a 416, a VO1A from our wonderful sponsor, Harlan Hogan. the E100S, which I have here, and I finished off with an ElectroVoice RE20.
Which is very different from the
nobody can tell the difference. Some high-end engineer in Hollywood might know that.
Yeah.
But if you're working with somebody like that, you're sitting across the glass from him. You're not doing it from home.
No, unless you're doing promo, which is a whole different ballgame.
Right. Now, Jody might argue with me, but we'll ask her about that. Yeah. She'll be on in just a couple of minutes. But that's it for Tip of the Week, and we got lots more coming up. Jody Gottlieb is coming up. We're going to have a great talk with her. So stay right where you are. We'll be right back on East West Audio Body Shop.
VO Studio Tech. Recording made simple.
Hi, I'm Peter McHugh.
This is Jim Tasker from Los Angeles, California.
Hi, this is Bill Ratner in Los Angeles.
Hi, this is Scott Rummel here in Yorba Linda, California.
Hi, my name is Rick Wasserman.
Hi, this is Tom Kane.
Hi, my name is Vanessa Marshall.
Hi, my name is Zurich.
Hi, I'm Mary McKittrick.
Randy Thomas chiming in.
Hi, this is Joe Szymanski.
Hey, this is Rick Robles.
Hi, my name is John Patrick Armstrong.
I was turned on to George by none other than Don LaFontaine, who always swore by himself.
George is absolutely awesome.
ISDN, Source Connect, Phone Patch, FTP, you name it, Georgia set it up.
It's really the best thing I've ever done for myself. I feel free, safe, fearless, like anything is possible in here.
Unless you like to look for opportunities to waste time, call George.
And he did all of that, long distance over the phone and the internet.
I'm very happy with George, and I cherish him.
Thanks, George. You make it easy.
Whence came these two radiant celestial brothers, united for an instant as they crossed the stratosphere of our starry window? One from the east and one from the west.
Very good.
And I'd like to add to that promo for VO Studio Tech and Edge. If you are watching this live, because chances are if you're not watching it live, you're going to miss it. There is a promo code for 25% off all services or service credits. And that promo code is Cyber2014, all capital letters, Cyber2014, one word. And you can use that during checkout at vostudiotech.com. And those credits can be used at any time. They don't expire. So you can use them sometime next year if you need them. So you can bank them. So that's it. So, Dan, who do we have waiting in the wings?
In the wings? She's not in the wings. She's actually here. Jody Gottlieb joining us from my future hometown of Sherman Oaks, California. Welcome to East West Audio Body Shop.
Thank you. It's nice to be here. And welcome to my neighborhood.
I can't wait. So it's, you know, we even have a Facebook page, the Sherman Oaks Quad. It's like I'm meeting all my neighbors. I haven't even moving there until July.
We'll have to go to the block party.
Absolutely. I can't wait. You know, go to the Starbucks down in Ventura. Gee, there's only about 30 of them. Aren't you? Yeah, it's right. Anyway, welcome to the show. Now, you're very accomplished at a lot of stuff in the business here. You worked at CBS. What did you do at CBS?
I was a writer, producer, and director of radio, meaning it was in the on-air department.
Right.
I handled radio promos.
Ah, okay.
People, the writer producers there.
So like if Charles Osgood was doing something, you were writing the promos for that kind of stuff?
Yes.
Okay, good. This is Charles Osgood.
Yeah, live stuff. Didn't do news. News was done out of New York, but right. It was all primetime entertainment. Because in addition to on-air promos, it was supported by promos you would hear in your car driving home. Mm-hmm. Don't forget to watch this show tonight. You know, of course, the writing was better in those days.
Well, yeah, obviously. Now, you're doing a bunch of other things now. You're not obviously not at CBS, but now you're coaching, you're writing, you're producing. Tell us a little bit about that.
I am coaching. I'm running workshops and one-day intensives, a lot of privates. I do privates by Skype and in studio here at LA Studios in Hollywood. Still writing, still producing, and hiring, casting, all of that stuff that writer-producers do.
Wow. And I bet it keeps you pretty busy. Now, recently you did a workshop with Jeff Howell from Worldwide Wadio, and – on how to interpret your scripts. I don't think there's anything more difficult than getting a piece of paper or on your screen saying, okay, we want this. Like, for instance, I got one today. I get to send this one to Mark Cashman for we're looking for a muse. It said they wanted something between the guy doing the, because we'll talk about the specs, somebody doing a, the most interesting man in the world and Tevye. Okay. And it was for a Greek restaurant. And I'm like, Tevye's not Greek. That's right.
That could be my all time favorite one.
I'm like, okay, I'll give it a shot. Whatever. Gee, maybe I'll actually get that one. That'll be fun to hear. But I mean, how do you interpret that? How do you look at that and go, huh? Because copy is copy. I mean, you can see, obviously, the poetry in the copy and how things flow through and stuff like that. Tell us more about that.
It's not as simple as I'm going to make it sound. We did an exercise at the beginning of the evening, handed out sheets of worksheets, and it was really about you digging deep and being honest with yourself, which they were able to do because nobody else saw these workshops, not even Jeff or me. And it was, what does your voice sound like? What characters do you have? What is your age range? Is it, are you, you know, male, female? Can you do either? Can you do Bart Simpson? Can you do, you know, some old, decrepit 95-year-old guy yelling, get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn.
Right. Yeah. Do that. It was taking a really hard, cold look at your own abilities and recognizing and coming to the truth that you can't do everything. And so once you have those list of adjectives that suit you, when you get those specs, you just match them up. Now, the specs you read were, what I would do is just say, if I was auditioning for that, I would just toss them. You know, there was nothing there to sink your teeth into. So, or if you had more time, you could do the same analysis for each of those characters and find out which of those adjectives match up to your own adjectives. I've seen specs where they list 10, 12 descriptive words. You can't match them all. Find three.
Right.
And do that. And then for your second take, find a different three.
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah. That's
gold right there.
Yes. Yeah. Everybody take note of that one.
Yeah. Because you can't be all things to all people. Hopefully your agent will sift through this and only send you scripts that you can, in fact, answer one or two or three or four of those qualities.
Right.
But, you know, let's face it, Dan, you're not going to get a script that asks for a 14-year-old girl.
Well, I do. I just don't do them. It's like... somehow the categories got mixed up there.
You know, sometimes things slip through.
Right.
But the first step in doing that, which was not a huge part of the workshop we did, but it was a very focused and brutal looking inward. It was almost therapeutic. You had to be brutally honest with yourself in order to progress from that. And the people we had in that workshop were pro level people. And they'd walk into the room and go, what are you doing here? Why, you know, you're working. What are you doing here? And the truth is that every single person, whether they're our favorite past guy, Don LaFontaine, or, well, maybe not Don, because Don did what he did, but every person who's working, whether they're, you know, making the $1 million or whether they're making a living, maybe they're making SAG minimums. This is a problem. I get calls almost every day calls from clients who say, what do I do? These are the specs. What do I do? And being cold and brutal, I can easily go through that list and say, well, that's not you. That's not you. That's not you. So look, there are six descriptives remaining. Do three on this one, three on that one. They'll be completely different reads, which is what you want to send.
Right. And that's something, of course, that comes with experience after doing thousands and thousands of scripts. Like, well, I can't do this. Right. You know, why is my agent even giving me this? Well, maybe my agent knows something I don't.
Or maybe they just didn't have a lot of people to submit.
That's true.
You know,
that's true.
I have relationships with a lot of agents in town, and we talk, and I ask them these questions. And I have heard some brutal truths about what happens on that end as well. As a producer, this is very simply, as a producer, I will call my four or five go-to agents and send them the scripts. And I write specs very loosely. I have a certain voice print in mind. I either want male or female. Sometimes I'll say I'll listen to both. I have a certain target demo in terms of the age demographic that I want to reach, but I'll go outside of that. And then I'll ask for texture or not. Do I want a light voice, a heavy voice? And that's about as far as I go. And I will send it to the agents, my four or five trusted agents. And I will say to them, send me back 10. That's all I want to listen to. Well, but that's because I'm getting 10 from four or five different agencies. So I'm actually getting 50. The agents then send this out to, I don't know, 20 or 30 of their people. So they have to whittle it down to what answers my very nonspecific specs. You know, agents have a hard time. Everybody always picks on the agents. But they, you know, I respect what they do.
Well, they're important gatekeepers to this, and they want to make life easy for you. But they also want to make money, and they want to give you the best person.
Yes, exactly. So they're in a funny position. They want to help me and work for me. They also need to protect their clients. So they're not going to submit to me anybody who they feel didn't quite fit the bill, even though they could be incredibly talented. But I hate to say it, but if I get somebody who's so off the mark, it gets implanted in my head. And sometimes that works in your favor, saying, oh, well, that's not going to work for this spot, but I've got something coming down the road that it might work for. Or sometimes it's just so off the wall that it's like, I never want to hear that person again. And I'm just telling you this because I'm human. You know, I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying I'm human.
Well, you're right in that one particular time. And, you know, as long as, I mean, but it, you don't want to blow somebody's career off because of something like that.
No, you don't. And that's why I go to my trusted agents who rarely do that. And I have to tell you that if they do, I actually give that a good listen because they want me to hear something specific about this person.
Right.
And I'm fine with that. I find that helpful.
Right. How much do you actually listen to when you get auditions? You know, and usually they'll give somebody the entire script. How long does it take you to figure this isn't the right person and you move on? Or as I like to say, people, you know, if they, you know, if you do it like that, they're going to, you know, if your audio is not right or something, that's going in the wrong file before you even finish with the slate.
That is true. That is true. If you're making it hard for me to listen to, I'm not going to listen to it. But, and I can only speak for me. I know other producers work differently. If I'm clicking around VoiceBank to book off demos, which is done a lot and a lot in promo, then I'm generous. I'll give it 10 seconds. if I actually sent out for auditions and they're sent back, I listen to both full takes. It takes me a while, but I do.
It's good to know. Should everybody do an A and B when they send it an audition?
Absolutely. Because part of what I'm listening for is I'm not listening for you to nail the read on the first take. You don't know what's in my head. Don't second guess me. But if the two takes are different and have a different perspective, you're telling me you are directable. And I like that because as a director, I can get you exactly where I need you to be. But if I hear two takes that are alike, I'm hearing resistance. I'm going to need to work too hard for that. And I don't want to work that hard at that point.
That is a golden nugget right there.
Right there.
Racking them up tonight.
Yeah. Anybody who's a professional should know that. I mean, you've got to show people that you're a professional, because people do demos, but can they repeat that, you know, behind the glass?
That is a very important question. I produce demos, and I produce them in a way, I produce demos that I need to hear if I'm going to book you off a demo. Okay, so from a producer's point of view. However, I have found, unfortunately, with some of my clients, and what's happening is that agents are very hip to the quality of demos that are going out and the manipulation that we can do. If they like the demo, they will call people in and say, we like your demo, come meet with us. And they'll go in and they'll have a very nice chat and the talent will charm the agent. But the agent knows, can you match the demo? And they will put them in the booth and audition them live, do a cold reading. And when you can't meet the level of quality of your demo, you're not getting that agent. If I book off a demo and I don't get the quality of what I heard on the demo, I'm going to stop the session and recast. So your demo should absolutely demonstrate the best you can be, not the best the producer can be.
Right. And that seems to be the trend is that, you know, you do a demo, it's like, it's overproduced. Well, we're not trying to show off the producer. You're trying to highlight the person's voice.
Exactly. I've heard demos where there's way too many sound bites. You know, the music is all wrong and it's mixed hot. And I can't really, it feels to me like they're hiding something. So to make a demo, I want to hear mostly you. Of course, I need you to break it up with sound bites. Otherwise, I'll go nuts, but use those sparingly on a demo.
Yeah. Another thing that happens is I'll be working with voice actors on evaluating their audio, because the people will send me an audio sample and I'll just listen to it and give them my raw opinion. And it's really about the quality, pure and simple. Right. But when I can hear the edits in a 30-second commercial spot, I'm going, holy cow. I mean, they can't even make it through a 30-second spot. You know, and if that's the stuff they're sending out, they don't have a chance in the world. And so that's the only time I will usually say something about their skill, but here's the way I quantify it. I'll say, are you a better voice actor or are you a better editor? I seriously doubt you're a better editor. And if you're not a better voice actor than your editor, maybe you should be doing production. But it's like, I mean, I'm a really good editor. I have a music recording and engineering background. I can splice together symphonies and you'd never know it. But, you have to be able to get through that read and you have to be able to do it cold. Maybe drop a word or two and pick it up, but you need to be able to get through that script.
Right. But the first violin in the symphony section has to be able to play it through.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, reality is in commercial and in promo to some extent, you don't have to do it in one take. Mm-hmm. It just has to sound like you did it in one take.
Yeah. Right.
Good point.
Right.
Good point. Now, I think it's important to note, because we sort of brought this up when you first came on, that professionals, you know, especially in Hollywood, but, you know, and then we had the young man who called us earlier. We played his question about getting started in voiceover. Classes. When you're a professional, you've got to constantly hone that craft. And I would think, especially in Hollywood, that taking classes is a very, very important thing. Even and if you're not in Hollywood, at least doing it online with a bunch of other people or one-on-one with the coach.
Yeah. Well, as you guys know, I teach, I just teach some not quite beginners, not people who haven't been in a class before, but I teach, you know, mid-level sort of working sometimes. My clientele are the pro level people, and they show up to my workshops week in and week out, and they come to my one day specials, and they come to the ones I do with Jeff. And, you know, and I ask them, you know, why are you here? And they say, well, we have to stay current with the trends. They have to continue studying, and they need to get out and be in a room with other people because they're all working at home in a room by themselves for so long. But they do need, right? Like all of us. But they, I admire that in my clientele, that they continue to come in, not every week, but they come in for what I call tune-ups. They'll do in-studio sessions for an hour, and I'll put them through their paces, and invariably they come out and they say, I didn't know that before. And 2 days later, I'll get an email. I used that technique on this job. The client loved it.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's pretty gratifying, huh?
Yeah,
it is. It's great. That's why we do this. I love that.
Yeah, definitely teaching's one of those things. You don't get it. The feedback's not right there. It comes a little bit later on, and you're like,
delayed gratification. I'm not good at that, but yes.
Who are some of the people that you've worked with in you know, in the business? Maybe somebody who's actually been on our show.
You mean like Townsend Coleman?
Yeah, Townsend Coleman's one.
I have worked with Townsend a lot. He's one of my faves to work with. He is gifted. He's not just talented. He's gifted. He's got, you know, and I don't work with him in animation. I don't do animation. But I've worked with him in promos at NBC. When I was at NBC, worked with him. Uh-huh. Worked on syndicated stuff for many years together.
During the must-see TV days?
Excuse me?
During those must-see TV days.
Yeah.
That was before my time. I worked a little after that.
Mm-hmm.
And he was still doing The Tonight Show at that time as well. But the thing about Townsend, well, I worked with him over the course of years. So, and I knew his voice and I knew his abilities, which were endless. I was able to write to him. By the time we got to recording, I just had to sit back and say, yes, no, I like that take. Let's use that. But what I love about working with Townsend, and I recommend this to everybody at all levels, once you give the producer what they like, if you think you've got another take in you, ask. Say, I'm glad you're happy with that. That's great. Can I do another take? And go, yep, ignore all my direction. Give me what you want. And I would say with Townsend, 50% of the time I used that take.
Oh.
Sometimes he went off the rails. It's like, yeah, no, that's not what I wanted. Yeah. But that's after working together for a long time.
Right. But
in any case, whether it's a first-time client or a long-time client, once the producer has what they want, but you feel you want to put another twist on it, ask for another take. They'll love it.
Yeah.
But only ask for one. You know, don't say, oh, can I have another one, another one.
Right.
Get one.
Really.
And it'll work or it won't.
Yeah. Now you said you've worked in promo and commercials. Yeah. How do promo and commercial auditions, how is the process different? How does one do audition for promo, and how does one audition? Well, not as many people do promo as right. imaging work as do commercial work. So what's that process like?
I think, let me see if I can put this in simple terms. I've never been asked that question before. But
well, we try to break all the barriers.
Obviously. I usually get the question, what's the difference between on-air reads and radio reads? But we can get to that. The difference between commercial and promo, as I see it and how I've done commercials versus promos, when I'm listening to an audition, I want to know that you understand the character. You know, I don't want to know what the backstory is, but I can hear if it's there. Who is this character you've created? And it could be, just straight announced. But there has to be some character there. And you may not hit every note in the audition that I want you to hit. You may miss something. And that's okay, as long as you're coming to it with a point of view. Some point of view. Two different points of view. I can keep hammering that home. Give me two different takes. On promo, it's less, even though I teach a lot about point of view, it's less about the character and more about the nuances of my copy, about the contrasts in the copy, about the pacing, rhythm, and whether you understand the tone of that particular spot. Not the tone of the show, but the tone of the spot. And in speaking to that, George and I have somebody who's now unfortunately gone. We have somebody in common. In fact, George, I'm remembering times I've actually spoken to you on the phone during recording sessions.
No kidding.
With Don LaFontaine. And this was a time that Don actually came into the studio. And and in promo, you don't get copy beforehand. And he came in and I handed him the copy and he was reading it as he's walking into the booth. And all of a sudden he turns around and he goes, Jody, this is comedy. And I said, yeah. He said, okay. Okay. And he walked into the booth and nobody could have done this better. The first half of the spot was a psycho, with the music and the, there were some shower scenes, too frightening, blah, 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 blah. And then there was a turn, Murphy Brown's baby shower. And it turned into different, somewhere I have to find that spot for you. You'll love it. Only Don could do it, where he could do that, psycho read, and then make the turn into comedy, light comedy. And he did it flawlessly, and he did it in one take. And I'm like, yeah, okay, great. And he says, no, I want to do another. He stayed in that booth, I swear, for 20 minutes, not because his reads were getting any better or different, but because he was having such a good time. It was just, it was a glorious moment for me.
When I was working with him at that point, it seemed that he was doing a lot of comedies and that he was in a way sort of doing his impression of himself.
Exactly.
Right. Because his voice was so iconic that it had been imitated 1,000 ways from Sunday by that point to Sunday, whatever the heck I just meant. Yeah. It's been imitated 1,000 times. And, so when I heard him doing spots for like the Simpsons movie and stuff, which is, by the way, the first thing I ever heard him read in person, when I went to his house the first time, I was sent there by a recording engineer named Steve Nafshin, who worked at Wood Holly and now is at DG Entertainment. And Steve referred me to Don. He said, Don needs some help with his home studio. And I'm like, oh, cool. Who's Don? And he's like, oh, you'll know, man. You'll know. I was like, okay. Went to his house, looked around. Hi, Don. Wow, this is some house. Went down to the studio. Still didn't really make a connection. I knew he was successful and everything, but he was like, oh, I got to jump in the booth for a second to do a spot. ISDN, bloop, bloop, It's a Simpsons movie spot. And I was like, oh,
that's the guy.
That's who this guy is. Oh, my God. And I think for like 2 years that I worked with him after that, I was basically, I can't say I was starstruck, but I was just sort of, he was so the pinnacle of that, of the industry, that I was just, it took me a long time to get really comfortable with around Don, but I was working in his little studio in his basement, sometimes almost once a week doing something, you know, so, but I really got to know him pretty well, especially the last 6 months or so of his life. We really got to become close. So it's really cool to hear these little stories about him.
And what was not amazing, but just so Don, is that, for instance, I knew I would want him for the spot, and I would call his agent and I'd say, I need Don at 2:30. I need him for 5 minutes. And that's how long it would take him to do a session. Of course, he was booked up the entire day. You could only have 5 minutes. But the thing is that he was so generous and kind and funny. I don't think, a lot of people don't realize how funny he was.
Yeah.
And had a wonderful sense of humor, especially about himself. And he was very generous. He would take my students for a ride along at whatever level they were at. If he met them, he invited them for a ride along.
Who are some of those names? Because I've heard so many of those great ride along stories. Who were some of the people you were working with at that time? Do you remember anyone?
People like, you know, I can't recall.
I'm putting you on the spot, I know, but
no, yeah, you know what? It's I never took notes. I just, you know, gave Don a hug and said thank you.
Yeah.
And he did men and women. This was before women were even doing a lot of promos, but and they're doing more now. But no, you know what? I can't remember any.
Melissa Disney's story about going on her ride along with Don is probably one of my favorites. Right, because she was a female voice talent at the time. She was like, who is this guy that want, that is inviting me to go for a ride in his limo? What the?
And that was before he had ISDN. Once that was installed, that
yeah.
was over.
Well, you, was, you've been working with ISDN-based talent a long time.
Okay.
Do you remember who one of the first ISDN-based talent that you worked with was? Was it Don?
I think it might have been Don.
Yeah. He's definitely one of the few early ones.
I think it might have been Don.
Yeah.
And I remember doing a job over at what was then called the UPN. It's about 10 o'clock at night. And that was the craziness of promo. And I needed Don and called him and said, you know, his, I couldn't reach his agents. I called him and said, sorry, can you do this? And he said, sure. I even have George here. There at 10 o'clock at night. And I'm thinking, oh, well, okay. Good. And that whole session took, and it was early. It was early in the use because there was some technical things we had to set up. And I don't think it was on your end. I think it was on UPN's end. But we did it, you know. 10 minutes later, we were over. No, it was, you know, and I walked out of that session saying, I love this. I can be anywhere, anytime, and get my work done. This is great.
Yep. It changed the business. I will say that I believe there wasn't, I only got to work with Don in the last about 3 years of his life. He had been using ISDN long before. So I'm pretty sure there was another guy, believe it or not, I think he was also named George. Strangely enough.
Okay.
So I won't take credit for that, but yeah, that's a great story.
Yeah. Well, this is all amazing to, you know, because, you know, Don was such an amazing person, and I got to meet him once at a conference, and he took the time to take the picture with everybody and shake your hand and say, who are you? Where are you from? He was a wonderful guy like that.
And I never took that picture with Don. I never got a picture with Don.
I'll tell you what, we'll take the picture I have and we'll Photoshop you in on it.
I don't have a picture with Don either.
Isn't that funny? Because you work with him every... where's he going to go? He's not going anywhere, right?
Well, that was, I guess.
You know?
Plus, we didn't have our little, you know, phones that we
iPhones,
I think if, you know, I did, I probably, he would have been one of the few that I would have asked for.
He would, I mean, last little Don thing, he would record stuff when I was working with him. He was getting scripts in that were for people's wedding announcements. Just goofy stuff. And he would do it because it was just so fun. And if, and he had more spare time, and, you know, near the end of his career, he wasn't doing 50 sessions a day. Right. And so he would get these things in and he'd say, "Hey, George, can you roll Pro Tools? I want to redo this little script." And it was a wedding announcement or something.
I think I heard one of those. He was just so awesome. Do you guys remember Ernie Anderson? Do you remember that name?
We certainly know about him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ernie once called me up. And this was before voicemail. I had an answering machine. And he called me up, and he, I won't tell you how he greeted me, but he said,
Was it rude in some way?
Yeah. I loved Ernie. And he said, "I'm recording a message for your voice machine. I don't want your voice on there." I said, my voice isn't that bad. And he said, "You need a man's voice on your answering machine, and I'm doing it." Like, okay. You know, it never occurred to me.
Wow.
You know, that's how these guys are.
Yeah. Well, Ernie apparently had quite the ego from all the stories I've heard about him. Well, Ernie,
despite the stories, I want you to know that Ernie was the sweetest guy in the world. He was up there in my estimation with Don. Ernie was the one who got me into promo. He took a chance and recommended me.
Oh, wow.
Oh, well,
yeah.
I take that back.
Yeah.
Huge respect.
But yes, I've heard those stories too.
Oh, yeah.
we've heard several from several different people, but
they're not true.
We have ton of questions from our massive studio or virtual studio audience.
Okay.
And we're going to get to those in a second. But right now we have to talk about another great voice, because he's a great voice in his own time. And that is Harlan Hogan and his magnificent online store, voiceoveressentials.com.
Yes.
They are running. It's the holiday season, and it's not Black Friday anymore. It's Cyber Monday. So are they running anything this week?
Yeah, he is. I got the site up right now, and we'll keep this quick because I don't want to keep Jody too long. I got a lot of questions, but he is running his Black Friday promo that's going to run for another 5 hours, 42 minutes, and 33, 32, 31. He's got it counting down on the website. So if you want to get anything on a promotional price, use his promo code BLKFRIVO, and you can get discounts on a lot of the stuff on his website. So don't miss that. You got 5 hours and 42 minutes to check to grab those deals from VoiceOver
Essentials. You can do it while you're watching the show too.
So, sure.
You know, don't miss a second, but you can sit there and type and go, "Well, I want
if you have
Harlan Hogan Signature Series headphones with the Twist-O-Flex and all that stuff.
And the leather and all that stuff.
And the leather and the memory foam.
Memory foam.
Go out and get them. Or the VO1A, which was highlighted in my video a little bit earlier. But anyway, thanks to Harlan for sponsoring our show for 168 episodes. Where do we get to 500? He's going to go, "I've been doing this for how long?"
He's going to be, "Why aren't I dead yet?"
That's right.
Oh, man.
I hope he lives forever. He's a great guy.
Yeah, no, anyway, thanks, Harlan. You've been fantastic.
Thank you for helping us out. Well, we're here with Jody Gottlieb, who's joining us from Sherman Oaks, California, where she teaches and has massive experience with some of the greatest voices in the history of voiceover. Let's go with some of the questions we've got from our audience here. Laurel Thomas asks, great lead-off question here, "What are the trends in women in promo? More? Less? How do we get in?"
Oh.
Sorry.
Last little bit. I was all set to jump in.
All right, we'll edit off that last piece. Go for the first part.
More women. More women doing, some of my women are doing broadcast network promos. I have a woman who did comedy. I had a woman who did run of show. I have a woman now on ABC Family, which is rare. There are a lot more opportunities for women. I'm hearing women on NBC on occasion, CBS. But surprisingly, not on Lifetime. Go figure.
Doesn't seem to make any sense.
But I do know one voice, woman's voice, who is now doing Hallmark. Lori Allen.
Yes, there is a woman doing Hallmark.
It was Scott. It was Scott Rummel, and then it went to Lori Allen.
Right, and women do a lot of PBS and PBS local stations. We have a local PBS station here, KCET, and it's all women.
Yeah, and I know GBH in Boston is doing the same, because I know someone who's doing some stuff there. So, ladies, just keep with it and do what you got to do.
Just keep the doors open.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, look at the possibilities. Yeah. Lee Penny asks, is your coaching exclusively via Skype, or are there individual group sessions?
Individual group?
Slash group. Yeah, individual or group, yeah.
I do Skype sessions. I do in-studio sessions here at LA Studios. In the evenings, we have to wait for studio availability. But either at 6 or 7 o'clock, we do hour-long privates. I do Saturday workshops. And I also do like a 4 or 6 week weekly workshop. For more advanced people who want to work on not only the nuances of promo and work on their reads, but also on timing. It is called my timing workshop. Not originally, very original in naming these things, but it is about timing.
Practical.
Yeah.
Practical, yes.
Here's a great question from a guy who really is the only person who really needs to be asking this question, because he's an expert on it. The unanswered Doug Turkel asks, for Jody, is the only best way to get the attention of network promo producers through agents, or does it make sense to market to them or contact them directly?
Okay. That's a two-part answer. There are some producers who are open to being contacted directly. I am not one of them. And the reason is because we get flooded with, please listen to my demo, consider me, do this, do that. And I can't. I just don't have that kind of time. It would take weeks to get through all the stuff that we get. If I have time, I will answer the email and say, I got it. Thank you for sending it, and that's it, and probably we'll never get to it. I do listen to recommendations from agents, because agents are not going to waste my time. I've had agents call me and say, listen to this, we just signed this guy, we just signed this woman, give it a listen. And me, not everybody, but it's like, oh, I like that, I think I'll write something to that voice. That's a harder road to go, but I know there are producers who are open to personal pitches. I'm just not one of them, and I'm sorry. I'm just trying to be really honest about that.
Well, and he's asking, you know, does it work? Obviously, everybody's different, so you know, results may vary. All righty, Randy K asks, Jody, do you feel promo work is becoming increasingly non-union outside of L.A. or in L.A.?
It's not becoming non-union in L.A. In fact, union work is very strong on the broadcast networks. If there are networks, and I'm dealing with one now in an odd way, who refuses to be signatory to either Writers Guild or SAG-AFTRA. They're obviously union, using non-union talent. Promo is around, well, depending on the market, some local affiliate stations may be going non-union and doing buyout contracts. But for network, national network, they're mostly union.
Okay. Devox asks, is it fair to ask an agent? Actually, a great question. how many people are you sending and how many agencies are submitting? Or is an agent going to know that?
The agent might not know how many agents are submitting. If they ask me, I'll tell them, only because agents talk amongst themselves. And one day we'll all be at a party and they go, oh, were you in on that job? Were you in? And they'll find out. So if an agent asks me, I'll tell them. I'll even tell them what other agents I'm working with. Is it fair to ask the agent? Sure. How many people they get to submit? Because if the agent says we can submit 10 and they walk into their booth and they see 30 people waiting, they can figure their odds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's a fair question.
Okay,
it shouldn't affect their read, though.
Yeah. Here's a more basic question. Now, here's somebody we haven't heard from before, so this is somebody new. Basil Sands. I've seen the name, haven't seen him ask a question. Recommendations on getting an agent. Now, everybody asked this one. The listings on the web are pretty huge and overwhelming, and I'd hate to waste time with less than the real deal. Well, there's a lot of real deals out there, and what do you have to say to something like that?
It depends on where he is in his career. If it's somebody who's looking for their first agent, I actually recommend looking for agents outside of LA and New York. Smaller markets have some wonderful agents. San Francisco, Dallas, Atlanta, Chicago, Boston, North Carolina. I know agents in North Carolina and Canada. But approach agents outside of the major markets. And you can get a couple of those. You don't need to, if you get one agent in Minneapolis, you can still have an agent in Atlanta and another one in Texas and another one in Seattle. But start with that and build that network before you approach the major, and I'm saying major only because they're in New York or LA. But if you're starting out and you're looking for your first agent, it happens. It does happen where you are that good. You send your demo. It gets picked out of the slush pile. It gets listened to. They love it. They invite you in. I mean, it happens. But the odds are against you. You know, it's winning the lottery. So I say, you know, start with small markets.
All right.
That's a great one. Jay Sawyer says, what is the current percentage of talent getting work or an agent with a demo? Let's see. Let me read that again. What is the current percentage of talent getting work or an agent with a demo? That is, how much weight does a demo carry these days?
Yeah, a number of people were sort of asking about that when we were talking about it earlier.
A demo carries a lot of weight in promo and commercial. A lot of times people are booked off their demo. For whatever reasons, they don't want to spend the time on a casting session. I've done it. I've just clicked around and, you know, listen for 10 seconds. Is that the right voice print? And move on. In promo, generally, we go to the people we know. You know, promo works much faster than commercial. And if I need somebody, if I've written a spot and gotten approved and I have to be on air tonight, I'm going to book somebody I know can do it. I really can't take time to train somebody new in my method. So it's like, okay, you know, I need you at 5:30, or, you know, call the agent and say, okay, let's do this at 4:15 or 10:30 tomorrow morning, whatever. Promo is more closed than commercial.
Well, that probably explains partly why it is more closed and it is a much smaller pool of talent because of the way it is casted, and it is casted so rapidly.
Yeah.
And it's so time sensitive and there's so much riding on it getting done on time.
Exactly.
That it just naturally goes that way. You can't spend a week casting a promo spot.
You do for campaigns, if you're launching a new campaign or if you're branding the network. I know a company now who's in the process has been going on for several weeks of finding a new brand voice, a male and a female. And they're going through this four-prong process. That's great if you're doing branding. But for the daily, everyday work, I could get an assignment in the morning and I have to be on air that night, which would be 5 o'clock LA time, so it could air at 8 o'clock East Coast. Who has time to cast? Who has time to listen? You know, that takes, if you're going to do it right, it takes time. So I know people, I can call and say, I want a woman. Can you do this? Can you fit me in? Because by that time, they're usually booked. But generally, you know, go to the people you know who can deliver.
Yeah. Devox asks, this is a great question, because you mentioned this earlier. You used the phrase mixed hot. No, I know what that means. How hot should a demo be mixed? What do you listen on? And if it's too hot, do you turn it way down? So I think that's a question a lot of people might want to wonder. It's like, well, you know, someone's listening to this on their laptop speakers. Does it have to be fantastic? How do you usually listen to, you know, when people are sending you demos and auditions and stuff?
I prefer when music is mixed a little under so that the voice is hotter. I'm not listening for production, although the production has to be terrific, has to be great, professional level. Don't do your demo in your garage. Please, don't do your demo in your garage.
Unless you have a really nice garage, too.
You have a really nice garage. You guys might be able to do your demo in the garage, but go to a real demo producer. The demo should be mixed down because the entire purpose is to listen to you. And I don't want to have to fight the music or the sound effects. If I have to work to hear what you're saying, I lose interest.
Is there an issue if, I mean, because we're always, okay, I give a lot of people pointers on how loud something should sound, right? Or we talk about things like RMS levels and things like that. It's generally definitely not good for an audition to be too quiet, right? We definitely agree on that.
Right. Yes, we do.
How about, can it be too loud? Is there a certain point where you go, whoa, that's just almost distorting, or it's just so loud I have to turn it down? Is that ever a problem?
If it's just a matter of turning it down, no.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know when you're getting into the hot zone.
Yeah.
And that it's going to distort. If I hear distortion, I'm not interested. I know it sounds like I'm, you know, tough and very difficult to work for.
No. This is really important for people to understand.
You know, the reality is that the competition is so stiff and exponentially getting more and more and more that you do not want to give a producer any reason not to hire you. And that's really what I'm kind of listening for, an easy way to eliminate somebody for consideration. Because out of 50 people that I'm listening to on an audition, I need to do it by process of elimination. And those are the kind of things that get you eliminated.
Yeah. So, I mean, like when you're auditioning promo auditions from familiar voices, what they do to the audio isn't quite as important, I'm imagining, because you're just, you know who it is, you know what they bring to the table, you just want to see how they fit. But if
George, let me clarify something. The known people, the people that I know, that I work with, that I can count on, I don't ask them to audition.
There you go.
Well, that's good to hear. All right, Jody, now you're teaching and doing all these things. How can people find you on the World Wide Web? Who wrote the World Wide Web? Who calls it that anymore?
I wrote that.
Oh, I figured as much.
Because I was thinking World Wide Radio, so I decided to write that out.
World Wide Web. How can people get a hold of you and find you and see what you're offering?
Follow me on Twitter and Facebook, Jody Gottlieb VO. And on both Twitter and Facebook, that's where I post my upcoming workshops. If you're looking for a private message me. I will get back to you. And when you do that, send me your email so I can send you all the information in an email.
Excellent. Well, Jody,
everything.
Yeah. Thanks so much for being on the show. You have been a gold mine tonight, and our vast audience is like, they're all gasping for breath with what you had to tell them tonight. You know, I can actually see them typing there, gasping for breath.
I want to keep talking to you.
Thank you.
From you.
We're always worried that it's like, you know, we look at how long we've been on the air, so to speak, and
yeah,
like, oh boy, we've kept her a long time. But that's a great compliment, that fact that you're we not exhausted.
Not exhausted. I mean, I love talking about promo, but I love listening to your recommendations on the sound quality, because as much as I am affected in terms of casting and auditioning and all that by the sound quality, I don't really deal with it. So this is great for me to understand what it is that I'm hearing that's turning me off or keeping me uninterested or whatever. This is a gold mine for me.
Yeah, I mean,
well, we're available.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's one thing I do probably 4 to 10 times a week is set up somebody's audio processing template or whatever, so that when they send out auditions, no one's having to turn down the volume, and hopefully nobody's having to turn up the volume, and rarely does someone need to turn down the volume, because I'm sensitive to volume being too hot too. So right. That's a big thing. But I think gone are the days where a lot of very, very, very well-known and very well, highly booked, sought-after talent would often just say, oh, no, they just want me. They just want me dry. And I'm thinking, that might have worked for you in another era, but I think now it's just you have to – it's just got to sound like – I sounded like that just came off the TV.
It has to sound professional. It has to sound like, and this happens, where if I hear an audition that absolutely nails my read, I may end up, if it's to time, which is why I teach a timing workshop, I may call the agent and say, send me the contracts. I'm just using the audition.
Yeah.
That happens. But if it's not a professional standard, then I do have to re-record.
Yeah, I hear clients tell me that. They just took my audition. I was like, yes. I mean, that's just the best thing a talent can hear, I think.
It is, and I'm getting reports back a lot. It's happening more and more. So I think a lot of that has to do with what you guys do in terms of technical, that the auditions that are sent out are those standards, usable standards.
Well, we can talk a little bit more about that a little bit later, too. We're going to take a break. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to make an executive decision here, being the executive that I am. We want to finish up the show, but George and I keep on afterwards, and we have our after show. And if you want to stick around and talk shop with us a little bit afterwards, you are more than welcome. And, of course, we'll keep the stream running and people can hear that. Is that possible, Mr. Whitham?
That's possible for me. Is that possible for you, Jody?
Absolutely. I'm all yours.
Can I give your audience
the most important piece of advice I can give?
Go for it.
Don't do your demo too early. There, I'm done.
Okay. So let's put a fork in it. All right. Well, thank you so much for being with us, Jody. You've been a delight. And I can't wait to move into your neighborhood.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
All right.
Can't wait to see your studio.
I can't wait to see it either. All righty. Well, we'll be back in just a minute. We've got a little bit more to go here, and then we'll be right back here on EWABS. Don't go away quite yet.
We all agree that iTunes is one of the best ways to listen to music, right? Well, what if your voiceover demos could be presented the exact same way, where each clip inside your demo is listed as a clickable, playable track? Well, now you can, if your demo is presented with the interactive demo player only from VoiceSam. In VoiceSam, each track inside your demo is clearly titled for producers to view, select, and play. Now, we all know that producers will only listen to the first few tracks of your demos, right? But not on VoiceSam. With VoiceSam, producers can interact with your demo, clicking on what they want to hear. They'll stay longer, listening to all your voice work because they want to. Plus, with VoiceSam's exclusive Xamtistics, you'll know exactly what they listen to, when, and for how long. So why not give producers a chance to hear all your voice work with VoiceSam? Go to voicesam.com and sign up now. Plus, get an exclusive 45-day trial when you use the promo code EWABS.
VoiceOver Extra, the voiceover industry's online news, education, and resource center 24-7. Hundreds, probably thousands of free how-to articles for voiceover success, ranging from home studio to voice acting to business. A free voiceover industry directory, calendar of industry events, resource links, a store, and much more. Bi-monthly webinars on all topics of voiceover, free subscriptions to newsletters, reports, announcements, daily news, and features at voiceoverextra.com.
This is East West Audio Body Shop with Dan Leonard in the East and George Whittam in the West. Now, back to Dan and George.
So quick. First off, thanks, of course, to our magnificent donors. This week, Don Griffith, Eric Aragoni, who never fails to disappoint us, Amy Sorenzi, Maria Makis, Jeffrey Scott Chambers, and David Smith.
Did you just say Eric Aragoni, who never fails to disappoint us?
Yes. He doesn't disappoint us.
Okay.
He never disappoints us.
I know.
He always gives a donation every week.
That's what happens when the show goes too long.
Yes.
No, he is awesome. He really has not failed. He is incredible.
He's never failed us once. Yeah. He's a great guy. And thanks to everybody else. Without those, the bandwidth just, you know, it's costing us a bit for the bandwidth.
The bandwidth, and the Ustream thing, which is the best part of the show, in our opinion, is being able to do this live, but it's also really costly. So thank you so much. So
we appreciate that.
Yeah.
Let's see. Sponsor, Narrator Helper. That's yours.
Yeah, narratorhelper.com. If you're doing audiobooks and you need help with proofing, editing, and mastering, one-stop shop, narratorhelper.com.
Yes, Nina Whitaker's Christmas CD, ninawhitaker.com.
That's Don LaFontaine's widow, and she is an unbelievable singer and very, very uplifting. And it's a really, really nice, and it's her first CD. And if you know Nita, you can't believe it's her first Christmas CD because she has been performing for years. So check it out if you can.
Yeah. All righty. You're going to be at the VO Peeps next Saturday.
Yep. I know. Anne needs me there. Anne's gotten a little bit too dependent on me now, to help her do the live production of her show, but that's okay. I love going to Anne. Anne's place and the food is always fantastic.
The food's always good.
Jerry Jerry's
a great guy.
Yeah, I know. So I'll be there on Saturday. I just thought I'd put that in there because I'm going to be there and Elaine Clark is going to be there. She's pretty
amazing.
That's
reason enough.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Our good friends at the VoiceOver Cafe are presenting the 214 Holiday Extravaganza Saturday, December 6th at Mustang Harry's at 352 7th Avenue, New York, 6 p.m. until you drop. Did I take a breath there?
And so that they said that's open for anybody. So
yeah. So if I was in New York, I'd be there.
Absolutely, me too. But I'm not.
That'll be good. Our show logs. You can access the show logs from EWAB's website. It's right there in front of you. If you're watching the show in the upper right hand screen where it says show logs.
That's right. So if you want to find out what we did in past shows, it's all time broken down by time, whatever that means.
Now, the next couple of weeks, we don't have anybody booked yet.
We have many in the ether and in the big vat that we're stirring right now. But
unless Jody wants to come back next week, I bet she probably does. But we have a couple of people in mind, and we're just waiting to finalize those. So December won't be dull. I mean, we're not going to bring on just anybody. It's going to be exciting like it usually is. On December 22nd, we're going to be dark. Now, it doesn't mean we're doing a minstrel show. It just means that we're not going to be on that particular night. December 29th is our annual best of show. You can submit your suggestions right below us here. If you look right underneath me, it says EWAB's best of 2014 viewer submissions. Just go into that form. Try to find something that you really like this year. Somebody that said something really cool or something that was really funny. Because, gee, there's only been enough of that to, the last couple of years. And give it to us with the time in the show. If you go on YouTube, you can see the sympathy time of where that is. So that helps George and I put that back together for us.
That's right. Yeah, our YouTube channel is at youtube.com/ewabsshow. One word, two S's in the middle. The podcast versions at Stitcher Radio, iTunes, and on our own website, you can find there's a Podbean link at the top, or a podcast link at the top, because we use Podbean to do the podcast version of the show. So if you like the audio version, a lot of you, I think, consume the show in audio format because it's a long show and you like to do it while you're driving, washing the dishes, mowing the lawn, shoveling the driveway. That's how you can listen to us. All right. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @ewabs_show, and subscribe and like our videos on YouTube because, well, that really makes us feel nice.
All righty. Let's see. Please. Oh, we did that one. Thank our sponsors again, of course. Harlan Hogan, VoiceOver Extra, Edge Studio, and VoiceSam, providing the uninterrupted live stream and bandwidth. Mm-hmm. Yes, I talk for a living. closing remarks. First acknowledgement, my wonderful wife of 20 years after our anniversary this week, Marcy, for putting up with this every Monday night. Our wonderful producer, Kathy Curran, and of course your wife, Amy, who's is very happy about what's going on in her career. Our fantastic producer, Kathy Curran, Anthony Getting for his stellar job in the chat room, Jack DeGoli with the show notes, Tim McKean working on the EWAB's essentials, and Lee Pinney with his consistent work with our podcast, which many of you listen to in your cars without the benefit, of course, of seeing our beautiful faces on here. But we appreciate that, Lee.
Is that a feature or a bug?
What?
Enough said. Not being able to see our faces.
Okay. All righty. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. Thanks so much for showing up, folks. You guys are a great audience. We love you. Enjoy your holiday season. We'll try to make it as jolly as we can over the next couple of weeks. So stay tuned and we'll do what we can. All righty. That's going to do it for us tonight. I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are
East West Audio Body Shop.
Boy, it seems like a long time ago we said that. Good night, everybody.
Take care, everyone.